The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 24, Jesus speaking, and he's saying, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The Bible does not tell us really how old the disciples were when Jesus had called them. But there are a few clues that we do have which might give us their ages. We know that Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry, and many of the disciples worked as fishermen, which means that they were old enough to work full-time. In those days, the young men started working as teenage boys from around the age of 13. We should go back to those days. Klim van TikTok af en gaan werk. We know that Peter was already married because the Bible tells us that he had a mother-in-law. So Peter would have been in his late teens, and this was the time when people would have gotten married in those days. According to other hints given to us, we might speculate that Peter was between the ages of 18 and 20 years old when he walked with Jesus. John the apostle lived the longest of all of the apostles, and he died about 60 years after Jesus went to heaven. And since John was even old enough at the time of the cross to take care of the mother of Jesus, and according to Jewish laws, we can assume that John was around about 20 years old at the day that Jesus was crucified. Peter referred to himself as an old man when he was in his 60s, and this was about 30 years after the death after Jesus Christ went to heaven. The Gospel of Matthew was written about between 30 and 40 years after Jesus, which means that Peter was between 18 and 25 years old when he walked with Jesus. In Jewish culture, made it customary for a child to begin his religious training at the age of 5 years old and to continue to the age of 12 or 13 years old. If a boy was intelligent enough and interested enough in continuing his religious studies, he would then seek a rabbi to disciple him and would follow that rabbi's pattern for the rest, follow that rabbi until he was about 30 years old. At that time, that young man could take his own disciples and he could teach them. A young man's discipleship training under a rabbi would usually begin between the ages of 13 and 15 years old. Now, if this pattern is consistent with the followers of Jesus, some of them might have joined Jesus as early as the age of 13 years old, which means that they would have been teenagers at the time of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. And though the Bible does not give us the exact ages of the disciples of Jesus, it is likely that they were between the ages of 13 and 30 years old by the time they followed Jesus. This view allows for some variety in the ages, with John likely the youngest and Peter perhaps one of the oldest, since he was already married. The reason I told you this is because we often have a very skewed concept of the disciples. We often imagine them as these older, wise men. But some of these disciples were boys when they followed Jesus. Others like Peter, just a few years older than my two boys. These men had no idea that Jesus would call them. They had no idea of the things they would see happening right in front of their eyes. I would like to ask you to use your imagination with me for just a second. Put yourself in their shoes and think on how you would feel if these things had happened to you. There is Peter on his boat. Just another hard day of catching fish. He's tired. He needs to go home now because his wife and his mother-in-law is waiting for him. Just another day of the same old. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he hears this voice, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." From there he started to go with this man and he saw amazing things. He saw the lepers being cleansed. He saw the blind seeing. People are even healed from a distance. The Lord even heals Peter's mother-in-law. Peter must have really loved his mother-in-law. The paralyzed were healed. People who only touched the clothing of Jesus were healed. Deaf and mute were healed. Demons were being cast out. Jesus feeds thousands of people with a few fish and bread. And then, out of nowhere, without anybody expecting this to happen, Jesus walks on the water and calms the storm. Can you imagine how Peter's faith started to grow? Could this Jesus really be the Messiah he has been waiting for? Then one day, Jesus asks a question to all of his disciples. And he asks his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" Some reply by saying, some of the people say that you are Elijah. Others say that you are a great prophet. But then Jesus looks at them and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And just imagine how wonderful Peter felt when he got this wonderful revelation, not from man, but from God. When Peter answered and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Sorry, I see it's not there. Okay, sorry. Here is Peter, having this great revelation. Oh, Peter was getting ready for big things. Peter's faith started growing. Peter was interested in what was going to happen. Jesus had told Peter that I am going to teach you to catch people. He started to understand who this man is that he is following. And Peter was ready to change the world with Jesus. But then, again, all of a sudden, Jesus started saying weird things like, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But old Peter, he's that guy that you do not want on your board. Some of you will have no idea what I just said. The pastors know exactly what I said. Peter is passionate about Jesus, his master. And no one is going to touch Jesus while Peter is around. Jesus had become Peter's entire existence. All of Peter's hope and trust is in this man that he gave his life up for. I mean, Jesus told Peter that he was going to change the world. So what nonsense is this of Jesus saying that he's going to die? And then that evening came. And Jesus had made a reservation for him and his boys. They ate bread, they drank wine, and they sung songs. Even the betrayer, Judas, was there. And he was revealed. And Jesus shared the communion with his boys. And then, after this wonderful evening, they went to the garden. And Jesus said in Matthew 26, verses 31 to 32, he says, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Old Peter, he just could not keep his mouth shut. And Peter replied, "Jesus, even if everybody leaves you, I will never leave you." And then Jesus, replying to Peter, said these very hard words. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. But old Peter, he just always knows best. And I can see him looking at Jesus, not even registering what Jesus had said. I can see old Peter looking at Jesus saying, "Excuse me, Jesus, did you hear what I just said?" He said, "Jesus, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And then all of the disciples said, "Mm-hmm." That sounds just like us. But Jesus, sweet Jesus, I can just see him smiling at his boys. I can see him giving Peter a hug and walking away to go and talk to his father. And suddenly there is a noise, and Peter jumps up. And people are trying to arrest Jesus. So old Peter, he grabs his sword and he chops a guy's ear off. But Jesus just looks at Peter, picks up the ear, and even heals the man that came to arrest him. And he tells Peter, "Peter, stop this." And Jesus is taken away for his trial. But Peter isn't far off. After all, Peter is going to die with Jesus. He promised Jesus. So there Peter stands. He's not afraid. He's just hiding so that no one will see him. He's still going to die with Jesus. He's just going to do it around the corner. Then all of a sudden, someone taps Peter on the shoulder, and the person says, "You also were with Jesus, the Galilean, but he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you mean.' And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed." And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. I can see Peter running into the darkness. He can barely see where he is going because his eyes are filled with tears. I can hear him mumbling to himself, "What have I done?" Jesus was the only one who ever really believed in me. He loved me. He saved me when I drowned. He indulged all of my stupid things. What have I done? Jesus was Peter's only hope. And not only is his hope now going to die, but in Peter's mind, the last thing Jesus heard was Peter denying him. Peter is broken. He is crushed. All his hope is gone. I can see him standing at a distance looking at Jesus hanging on that tree. I see how pitifully Peter sobs and wipes away his tears. I see him looking from afar as they bury Jesus, the only hope he ever had. He goes home to his wife, and his wife wants to know, "Peter, why are you in such a state?" And Peter says, "I have denied Jesus, baby. I stabbed him in the back, and now Jesus is dead. I am doomed for what I have done." Saturday comes, and Peter goes fishing again to try and get his mind off what he has done. But what he has done weighs heavily on his heart. Sunday morning, Peter wakes up, but he does not get out of bed. Not that day. He has nothing left to live for. Depression has gripped him, and he does not want to face the world. But all of a sudden, there is a loud knock at the door. And Peter is still not getting up, but as a good wife that he has, she runs to the door. And she goes running into the room, tapping Peter on the shoulder, saying, "Peter, come outside. It is Mary Magdalene." And Peter gets up and goes to the door, just like any man would do. and say, "What do you want, Mary?" And Mary says, "Peter, Jesus told me to tell you something." Peter turns ice cold. "Mary, what are you talking about? Jesus is dead." "Peter, shut your big mouth for 1 second and listen to me. Jesus wants me to tell you something." I can see Peter, his mind running at 3,000 kilometers an hour, maybe thinking, "Oh my goodness, here comes the judgment of God." And looking at Mary, maybe with tears in his eyes, saying, "Mary, what?" "Peter," says Mary, "I went to anoint Jesus again today at the grave. But Peter, he wasn't there. I spoke to the gardener and I asked him where Jesus is. But then, Peter, this gardener said my name. He said, 'Mary.' And when he said it, I recognized his voice. Peter, it was Jesus. And Peter, he told me to say this to you. Go and tell my disciples and Peter. I am waiting for all of them and for Peter. Go and tell my disciples and Peter." I can imagine Peter standing there thinking, "He still loves me. He can restore me." Jesus once taught his disciples by saying the verse that we read in the beginning, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, the thing about Peter is God did have a tremendous plan for Peter. God did call Peter before the foundations of the world. But there is something that Peter never knew about the way that God worked, is that God first kills those he wants to use. And Peter had to die, and God knew exactly what would cause Peter's death. Yes, what Peter did was horrible. What Peter did was wrong. And some of you are at this place. But what you don't realize is that God has not forgotten you. Some of you are sitting here and you think that God will never be able to use you. "I have messed up so bad." Maybe you did not do what Peter did, but you messed up. Maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago, maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you are still lying in bed on a Sunday morning because how can Jesus ever help me? But don't remember those words, and you can put in your own name. Go and tell my disciples and Peter. God has not forgotten you. What you don't realize is what you think, or what you would call, "God has forgotten me," was God who had just planted you into the soil of His growth. I want to say that again. You think God had forgotten you. All that God did is He planted you into the soil of growth. God had to make sure that you first had to die. Listen to me, if you didn't go through whatever you went through, you would not have been able to die. And if you did not die first, you wouldn't be able to bear much fruit. You thought that this problem that you are facing, you thought that this sin that you had committed, you thought that this mistake that you made, you thought that this problem was the problem that was going to kill you. You thought that this was the end of your life, but what the devil uses to destroy you, God uses to bless you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purposes." Some of you who are here in this place, everything seems dark. We have to remember that 2,000 years ago, round about this time, Jesus would have already been buried. 2,000 years, round about this time, the disciples would have been scattered. They would have had no hope. They would not have realized what was going on. They were in a place of darkness, a place of confusion. And some of you who are here in this place tonight, you are at exactly that place. Everything seems dark. You have seen the cross. You have seen what they have done with your hope. You have been through your Saturday, and you haven't seen any hope come forth. You are here in your Sunday, and you still haven't seen any hope. The only problem is, you just haven't heard yet. He is already risen. You are stuck in your problem, but you just haven't heard that the grave has already been opened. But today I am here to tell you that the stone has been rolled away. The King is risen and your hope is arrived. The Jesus you thought you knew is not the Jesus who will reveal His great power to you. Only Pastor Andy caught that. I said, the Jesus you thought you knew is not the Jesus who's going to reveal His power to you. You knew Jesus in a certain way before you were planted by God. You have walked with Him. You have talked with Him. You have seen some miracles. But now He will reveal Himself to you just the way that He is, alive, glorious, and tremendously powerful. Julle kan vir my iets aanse, dankie Jaco. I have a very short sermon, which very rarely happens in this church. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I know that most of us are Christians. I believe so. Most of us want God to do really big things through us. Most of us have been trying for years, and it almost seems as if you have failed at every corner. But remember those words. Go and tell my disciples and Peter, I am waiting for them. Jesus Christ is waiting for you to come to Him. He will restore you. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. He will restore you, but not to your former glory. God does not restore old things. He makes all things new. He will take you from glory to glory. And today is that day. So I want to encourage you, pick up your faith. Gather as much as you can. Pick up your courage and go to Him, for He is waiting. Put your faith back in Christ, because without faith it is impossible to please God. But he that goes to God must believe that God is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I don't care what the mistake was. I don't care what the problem was. I don't care how far you have sunk into depression. I don't care what you have done. Go and tell my disciples and Peter. The problem is, you just haven't heard it yet. So I want to ask you tonight, if you would please, if you would maybe join me, if you would maybe rise to your feet, if you would maybe lift your hands and let Jesus Christ tonight restore you and touch you through His Holy Spirit. If you want to, you can stand with me for just a moment and allow Him to touch you tonight. Come on, speak with Him. Speak to Him. Cry out to Him and let Him restore you tonight. Maybe you haven't heard it, but I'm here to tell you, He is alive and it is your time. I don't care who says what, it is your time. Father, we bless your name. And even though today is the crucifixion, Father, we do not cry tears of sadness, but we cry tears of joyfulness and of victory. Because, Father, you have won the victory through Jesus Christ. And, Father, you can make all things new. And I know that there are people standing here tonight that desperately need you to touch them. And so, Father, I want to pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would touch everyone standing here tonight, that you would restore them, that you would blow hope back into their lives, and that they would know tonight, even though they haven't heard it yet, he is alive and he's coming to restore them. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you and we bless your name. And just before we sit down, just lift your hands one more time and just thank him for that great miracle that he's going to perform in your life. It doesn't matter if you see it or don't see it, you just haven't heard it yet. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Maybe you should start confessing it before we sit down. Just maybe say, Jesus, I know this is going to happen by faith. I know this is going to happen. The devil says down, but you say up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I know it is a very short sermon.